Okay, the portion of the week is Parashat Bo, the said parsha of the book of Shmot. The beginning of the parasha continues to speak about the 10 plagues, and later on we hear about coming out of Mitzrayim. We will continue to discuss today the 10 plagues, add more to what we said last time. So it's page 341. Just a second, please. Just adjust something. Okay, we are on page 341. Just to remind ourselves, seven plagues took place already in last week's portion, and three more are discussed today. So we are after the plague of Barad, of hail, and let's see what takes place now. Verse number one, chapter 10. Hashem said to Moses, "Come to Paro, for I have made his heart and the heart of his servants stubborn, so that I can put these signs of mine in his midst, and so that you may relate in the ears of your son and your son's son that I made a mockery of Egypt and my sons that I placed among them, that you may know that I am Hashem." Okay, so Hashem is sending Moshe to Paro in order to warn him about another plague that is coming, the plague of Arbe, of locusts. When Hashem sends Moshe to Paro, he opens up with something very, very not understood on a superficial level. He tells him, "Why should you go to Paro?" Right? So he says, "For I have made his heart and the heart of his servant stubborn. That's why you should go to him." This is a reason not to go. Hashem made his heart stubborn, means, in other words, he's not going to listen. So what's the point of going to him and warning him? Right? And more than this, why would Hashem really harden the heart of Pharaoh? If Hashem sends Moshe to Pharaoh in order that Pharaoh will let the Jewish people go, hardening his heart will do the opposite. So the question is, why is it done? It seems as if free choice was taken away from Pharaoh. Because if Hashem makes his heart hard, so who is the cause that the Jewish people are not coming out of Egypt at the moment? It seems that Hashem, not Pharaoh, that he's not responsible, he is forced to do it. So we have to understand it. Now, it's even more difficult if you go a little further in the Psukim. Let's go further. Moses, number three. Moses and Aaron came to Pharaoh and said to him, "So said Hashem, God of the Hebrews, until when will you refuse to be humbled before me? Send out my people that they may serve me." So who is blamed in this pasuk for the fact that Pharaoh doesn't let the Jewish people go? It seems that Pharaoh is blamed because Moshe tells him, right, "Until when will you refuse to be humbled before me?" Means, in other words, it's a refusal of Pharaoh that makes it so that the Jewish people are still in Egypt. So the psukim seem to contradict each other. On one hand, Hashem hardens his heart, what indicates seemingly that Hashem forces him not to send them. On the other hand, he is blamed for the fact that he refuses. So how does it work together? To start to understand it, I want us to go back to the time when Hashem reveals himself to Moshe and tells him about what's coming. He reveals himself to him in the burning bush. And among the things on page 325, verse number three, maybe we'll start from the pasuk before, two pasukim before, beginning of chapter 7. page 3:23. Hashem said to Moses, "See, I have made you a master over Pharaoh, and Aaron, your brother, shall be your spokesman. You shall speak everything that I shall command you, and Aaron, your brother, shall speak to Pharaoh that he should send the children of Israel from his land." So Hashem tells Moshe, "You and Aaron will go to Pharaoh and demand that the Jewish people will come out of Egypt." Next pasuk, "But I shall harden Pharaoh's heart, and I shall multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt." So that's where it's written the first time. But Hashem tells Moshe, even before he goes to Pharaoh, that he will harden his heart. And we have to understand it. If there is one famous explanation to it, to what's going on here, and this is that for the first five plagues, Pharaoh hardened his heart on his own. The Torah doesn't tell us in the first five plagues that Hashem hardened his heart. Moshe came to Pharaoh, he told him, "Send my people out." He said, "Who is Hashem? Who is God that I listen to him?" So he himself made the decision not to send them in the five first plagues. As a result of it, Hashem hardened his heart in the last five, so he'll be punished. But this doesn't yet fully resolve the problem. And already here, Rashi, in the first place, right, when Hashem speaks in the beginning, when he sends Moshe, when he sends Moshe to Pharaoh, he tells him, "I'll harden his heart," right? Rashi already resolves the problem for us and explains more what I just said. So I want to read Rashi to you, okay? And it's Rashi in chapter 7. Verse number 3 is the pasuk that says, "And I shall harden Pharaoh's heart, and I shall multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt." Says Rashi the following, "And I shall harden." Now that Pharaoh has behaved wickedly and has brazenly opposed me by saying, that's not what Rashi I'm explaining, and by saying, how does he speak brazenly against Hashem? By saying, "Who is God?" Right? Hashem sends Moshe to him and he says, "Who is God?" Right? So now that he did it, and now Rashi adds something that I want you to listen to. This is the point I want to concentrate on and we'll understand it. "And it is revealed before me that there is no goodness of spearing among idolatrous nations to set themselves wholeheartedly to repent. And because it is so, that it's revealed to me that idol worshippers, the wicked people in nations that are idol worshippers, don't return to me wholeheartedly, right? It is good that his heart should become hardened, so that I may increase my miracle signs against him, and you will recognize my might." Okay? And this is the characteristic of the Holy One, blessed is he. He brings punishments upon the sinful nations so that Israel should take heed and be fearful, as it says, "I have destroyed nations, their towers have been laid desolate," etc. "I thought that you would fear me and you would learn a lesson." And vivel of it, says Rashi, in the first five, Hashem did not harden his heart, only in the last five. So Rashi teaches us here something very profound and very important. When Moshe came to Pharaoh, with the demand of Hashem, in the name of Hashem, he told him, "Let my people go." What was Pharaoh's reaction? "Who is God that I listen to him?" Meaning, in other words, what does he say? "I don't accept him as an authority. to tell me what to do. In other words, I'm not interested in subjugating myself to him. As a result, there will be 10 plagues. First plague, the magicians did too. Of course, Paro is not going to let the Jewish people out. The second, the same. They were able still to do it. Paro said no. In the third plague, the magicians already were not able to do the same as Moshe did, Aaron did, right? They were not able to bring lies. So the magician said, it's the hand of Hashem. But Pharaoh said, no, I'm not letting the Jewish people out. Okay? The fourth and the fifth, the same. Pharaoh does not want to let the Jewish people out. So what does this indicate? I do not accept the authority of Hashem. Yes, he showed his capabilities. It's definitely things that my magicians cannot do. But I'm not going to send the Jewish people out. And why so? Because he's not ready to accept his authority. The Midrash says it in a very beautiful way, that when Moshe came to Paro and told him, let my people go, the God of the Hebrews revealed himself to me. So Paro checked in his books and his treasure house, and he saw that Hashem never corresponded with him or gave him gifts like all other kings. So I said, who is God that I'll accept him? In other words, he's not accepting the authority of God. So if Hashem will bring now heavier plagues and heavier plagues and heavier plagues, why will Paro eventually, as a result of it, if Hashem doesn't harden his heart, let them go? If it will be too heavy to bear, if it will be too difficult, if his nation will rebel against him, that he doesn't let them go because they don't want to go through all of it, then he would say, okay, go. But is it tshuva? Is it that he's changed his mind in terms of the authority of Hashem and the need to listen to him? In order to answer this question, we have to define what tshuva is. The word tshuva comes from the root shin vav bet, lashuv, what means to return. The whole concept of tshuva is to return to Hashem, to get closer to him. If Pharaoh would have been on his own, Hashem would not interfere in hardening his heart, would have sent the Jewish people out. He would do it with resentment against Hashem, because it will be forced upon him. He didn't want to do it. He doesn't want to accept an authority. But what can he do? Plague after plague after plague, these people are really, you know, demanding to let the Jewish people go. What can he do? He has to let them go. But this is not tshuva, because it doesn't make him closer to Hashem. It makes him further from Hashem. And being that he makes them further from Hashem, it's not a wholehearted tshuva. And Hashem doesn't want it to happen. Hashem doesn't want that Pharaoh will send the Jewish people because he resents Hashem. Hashem brought the 10 plagues in order to teach lessons. If somebody is forced to do something, he's not open to learn lessons. Hashem wanted Paro to be able to see the 10 plagues and come to the conclusion that there is nobody like God, that there is a God that is involved in this world, that there is no one like him, and as a result of it, subjugate himself to him, understanding that this is the right thing to do. Paro was not ready for it. And being that this was the case, there is no point in him sending the Jewish people resentfully just because the plagues are very difficult to bear. Because then, 10 plagues won't come. It will be maybe 5, 6, 7, but not more. Because already in Barad, at the end of last week's portion, if you look after the plague of the Barad, okay, the people told him, just a second. Are you going to destroy all of Egypt? Right? The people demanded already that he will send them. Right? That the servants told Pharaoh, we cannot let Egypt be destroyed fully and completely, meaning they were ready already to send them. But it would have been only because of fear and not because they learned the lesson. Pharaoh wanted them to go through stage by stage all 10 plagues and then send the Jewish people. Okay? If Pharaoh would have wanted to listen to Hashem, and as a result of it, even because of the difficulty of the plague, but want, if he would want to accept the authority of Hashem, and when it would become too difficult, it will encourage him to send them with acceptance of Hashem, Hashem would obviously take his tshuva. But this was not the case with Pharaoh, right? So it doesn't, it's not called tshuva altogether. That's what Rashi says. Let's go back to the language of Rashi, right? Rashi says, now that Pharaoh has behaved wickedly and has brazenly opposed me by saying, who is God that I listen to him? So he indicated, I am not interested. I don't want to accept you as an authority. And it is revealed before me, says Hashem, that there is no goodness of spirit among idolatrous nations. To set themselves wholeheartedly to repent. He doesn't want to repent wholeheartedly. If he will do it, it will be with resentment. It's better that his heart will be hardened. Meaning, in other words, Hashem doesn't look only at the actions of the person. He looks on what he thinks and how he feels, so on his intentions while doing these actions. We cannot call tshuva following Hashem with resentment just because there is no choice. So Hashem doesn't want to accept it. We want him to come to a point where he accepts Hashem, knowing that this is the truth, so he hardened his heart and gives him more time to learn the lessons. And when he learned them, all 10 lessons that indicated that, as we explained last time, that there is no other God that is all capable, that is involved in this world, and you cannot ignore him. That's when Hashem will let him take the Jewish people out of Egypt, tell the Jewish people, leave. Now, this teaches us a very interesting lesson about the Jewish people and how Hashem treats them. We said Hashem doesn't look only on the action. Hashem looks also on what is in the heart of the person. Sending the Jewish people with resentment, not accepted. It's not wholehearted tshuva. So let's go now to us. Being that we are the children of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, being that they invested in the DNA of the Jewish people, and we all have something of them inside our spiritual genes. Being that the 12 tribes continue to develop them, right? And so the people all through the exile of Egypt, right? The righteous among them also continued to develop the soul of the Jewish nation. So in essence, every Jew deep down wants to be connected to Hashem. Might act very differently and speak very differently. Because this spark that is inside a person can be covered with many, many layers. Each time that we make a wrong choice, we put like a cover on this inner voice in us, the voice that we got from Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and all the previous generations. But it's still there. So, when a Jew performs, does an avera, doesn't listen to Hashem, and does something against what the Torah tells us, his actions are wrong. But deep down, It doesn't really express its main essence, its real essence, its external. Like the actions of Pharaoh, if he would have sent the Jewish people out in the middle of the plagues, would have been an external act that doesn't indicate what's inside him. It's the opposite by Jewish people. When Jewish people even do something wrong, it doesn't express their inner goodness. The desire and the innate connections that they have with Hashem, that might be very covered up, but still is there. So it's basically not a wholeheartedly done avera, wrongdoing. And that's why we have a rule that if you don't understand the depths of it, it's very bewildering. Our sages say that when a non-Jew does thinks to do something wrong, he will be punished for it. A Jew will not. When a Jew wants to do something good, and from whatever reason doesn't do it, he will be rewarded for it. So it seems like discriminative, right? A non-Jew thinks to do something negative, and he doesn't do it, he'll be punished. A Jew would like to do something good and he doesn't do it and he gets reward for it. How come? Because they reveal the inner essence of theirs. Right? If a wicked non-Jew does a good action, he does not express his inner essence. It's only external. So the thought should be punished for, because it indicates the essence. By a Jew, if he has any intention to do something good and he doesn't do it, being that it expresses who he is deep down, he should get reward for this thing. So, what does it teach us? It teaches us that we have to work on our inner desire to be connected to Hashem. Because the desire, even if it doesn't express itself in actions yet, is rewarded. The more we develop the inner desire that we have to connect to Hashem, the more rewarded will be, even if for whatever reasons it does not come into action. Now let's try to understand, why wouldn't it come into action? Why won't it be actualized in actions if a Jew wants to do it? It could be that the obstacles that are put on his way, even by his bad inclination, or by the environment, or whatever other factors that affect him, make it very hard for him to do the right thing. Now we should do it, we should try to do it, no question. But sometimes the person realizes what he's supposed to do, but it's very, very hard for him and he doesn't do it. But still, because he wants it very much, he's rewarded. If he tries and works on developing his desire, he will be rewarded, even at the time that it's not yet falling into action, because if he will continue to work on his desire, eventually, hopefully, he will come to a point that he can do it. Or at least, he'll feel bad that he cannot do it. And this by itself is an accomplishment. So if we are not apathetic, if we are not compliant, we are fine. We try to grow. We want to grow. Not easy. But we work on it, even if we didn't change our actions yet. But we are developing the desire and feel bad about the fact that we don't do it, we are okay and we are involved. So our job is really to develop the will. Now, there is a very famous saying that is used a lot in many different ways that says, I'll say it in Hebrew and then I'll translate. Ein davar ha'omed bifnei haratzon. There is nothing that stands in the way of a will, right? Maybe the English expression for it is there is a will, there is a way, right? That's the plain explanation. There is a will, there is a way. But it's not always true that if there is a will, there is a way. There are things that we might want very much. And for whatever reason, we cannot do it. Right? And it's not a problem. Because in terms of the desire, we should desire to be the best, to be very righteous, to actualize all of our potential. Can we do it tomorrow? Of course not. It's a lifetime job. And will we realize all of our potential in our lifetime? Very few people can do it. And it's okay as long as we develop a will. And while there are many obstacles that stand in the way of our actions, there is nothing that stops our will. And that's another interpretation of this saying. There is nothing that stands as an obstacle I'm adding in front of the will. I want to do something. In front of the action could be many obstacles. But nobody can stop me from wanting. I have nothing that stands in the way of wanting, and I can always develop it. And I'll be rewarded for the will if I'm serious and I'm working on it, even if I didn't yet actualize it many times. It's possible that I want to do the actions and Hashem prevents it from me. Give an example. A person decides to give a big sum for a very good cause, as charity. And there is a crisis in the market and he loses his money. He did everything he could. Hashem prevented him from giving it. But he will get rewarded as if he gave it because he wanted, he was ready to go ahead and do it. He didn't actualize because Hashem stopped him, right? So obviously he'll get rewarded. And nobody can stop a person from wanting to give. And many times, if a person really wants, Hashem makes it possible for him to do it. Because in general, our sages say that it's impossible to overcome the bad inclination unless Hashem helps us. Let's think about it. The bad inclination is an angel. We are human. Obviously, an angel is unlimited in many ways that human beings are. You know, there is the famous person of the Rebbe Heschel that was a very smart child when he was very young, very smart, that once his father tried to wake him up in the morning. And, you know, it was cold outside and very warm under the cover, and he didn't want to get up. So his father wanted to encourage him to get up. So he told him, Heschel, learn from your bad inclination. It's so early in the morning, he's already up, and you are still in bed. Learn from him. Get up. So Rebbe Heschel answered as a young child, big deal. The bad inclination doesn't have a bad inclination who doesn't let him do his job. But I have a bad inclination who doesn't let me do my job. Meaning, in other words, we are fighting against an angel, right? An angel has no obstacle standing in his way to do whatever he's assigned to, but we have many, right? And if not that Hashem helps us, we cannot really do it. But we are promised that if we will do the utmost that we can, Hashem will help us also to achieve. We might not see it right away, it might take time, but eventually we'll achieve it. So going back to the fact that Hashem hardened the heart of Pharaoh. So being that Pharaoh in the beginning did not, and all along did not want to accept the authority of Hashem, if he would have sent the Jewish people, it would have been this resentment. Because of it, Hashem didn't want him to send the Jewish people like this. He wanted him to learn a lesson. And he wanted also us to learn a lesson. Which lesson? Rashi says at the end, right? And via this, you'll know Hashem, because if you see, this is how the pasuk ends. Let's go back to 3:41, right? The first pasuk, right? What's written there? Hashem said to Moses, "Come to Pharaoh, for I have made his heart and the heart of his servant stubborn, so that I can put the signs of mine in his midst, and so that you may relate in the ears of your son and your son's son that I made a mockery of Egypt and my signs that I placed among them, that you, Jewish people, may know that I am Hashem." Meaning, from the way I treat Paro, because he doesn't do it all heartedly, you can learn how I will treat you because your inner desire to connect to me. Meaning, Paro teaches us lessons about who we are vis-a-vis him and how Hashem will treat us differently than what he treats him. So we said, it's possible that we will desire to do good, and it will be very difficult for us, too difficult for us, and we won't feel that we can accomplish. Let's take a very simple example. I get up in the morning, I want to pray to Hashem with all my heart and soul. And he doesn't feel that my heart is with me. I'm saying the words. Maybe I at least know what I say. Maybe I'm even distracted by other thoughts, even though I'm resolved to pray the way I should. I stop from time to time, try to refocus. But even if I succeed in focusing, I might not feel the elevation, the closeness to Hashem that I would like to have. It happens many times, right? Why? Because it's hard. I have a bad inclination, I have an environment, there are things that distract me from the outside. There is a long list of things that I have to do today, and it comes to my mind against my will, and so on and so on. It's not easy to overcome the bad inclination unless we have help from Hashem. What do I have to do at such a time? Not to get depressed. All I am asked to do is to want it. But I have a very strong resolution to get there, what indicates that I want it. I stop in the middle of prayer when I feel that I'm not the way I should be, and I try to concentrate, to think on what will move me further. I'm putting effort into it, right? If I don't succeed, I didn't succeed, I should not get depressed, because the only thing that is in my, that I have no obstacles on the way for, is to develop a will. And if I worked while davening to try to do it in the proper way, so I indicate will and work to actualize it. That's okay. The same with other things. Let's say I realize, and you'll see soon why I'm giving another example. Let's say I realize a certain truth. I studied a class, whatever it will be. And I realized the things that I heard are true. I know it logically, but again, I don't feel that it's penetrated into my heart. So the Kotzke Rebbe says, quoting the Shema, "V'ayu ha'dvarim ha'ele al levavcha." These words, the words of Torah, should be on top of your heart. And he asked, why on top of your heart? In your heart. So he says there are times that it doesn't seem to penetrate. What do we have to do? We have to put it on top of our heart. We have to accumulate more and more understandings, more and more knowledge, read more things that inspire, that make sense, that give us the truth. Accumulate them. There will be a moment or moments where our heart is opened. We have these experiences, right? Moments of openness. Then everything that is piled on top of the heart will fall in. will penetrate and become who we are. So, in other words, we have to understand that the closeness to Hashem is a process. Some are in our hands, some are not. What we should do is work, because work indicates that we want it. And this is what Pharaoh did not want. So via seeing how Hashem treats Pharaoh, we can learn how he treats us. And even more than this, if I pray, going back to the previous example, and I feel my heart is fully there, and I am elevated, and I feel great while doing it. I have a spiritual experience, I feel a closeness to Hashem. It's very nice. But work is not involved in it. Hashem helped me. He opened up my heart. When I work on the process, when I try to pray properly and it doesn't go, and I put more effort and more effort and more effort, I really invest in the relationship. This is even more important in terms of reward and how much it will bring me close to Hashem than the moments of openings. The moments of opening are reward. Reward for what? For the times that I work very hard and it does not go. Okay? So that's one level of understanding, the hardening of the heart of Pharaoh. I want to go to another level of understanding the fact that Hashem hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and how is this bringing us, right, to know Hashem better. Okay? It's written the following, the Midrash here, on this Pasuk that tells us that Hashem hardened the heart of Pharaoh. The Midrash brings a Pasuk from Dvarim, right? I want you to go there and see it. It's page 1105. 1105. Okay, it's in Shirat Ha'azinu. It's the words of Moshe to the Jewish people on the last day of his life. And he gives them an overview of Jewish history till the end of times. Okay, so if you look to Pasuk, just a second, the Pasuk 26, at the end of the, it starts with a few words at the end of the psukim, right? On top of the line. 1105, verse number 26. Hayet said, says Hashem to Moshe, I will scatter them. I will cause their memory to cease from men. Very harsh words. Hashem says it about the Jewish people. Right? This is what I said to myself. Right? I'm going to scatter them and I'm going to cease their memory from men. Were it not that the anger of the enemy was pent up, lest the tormentor misinterpret, lest they say our hand was raised in triumph. What does Hashem say in other words? I would have, God forbid, right, destroyed the Jewish people, make their name not be remembered even. What stops me? The desecration of the name of Hashem. Because then the enemies will say they succeeded to overcome the nation of Hashem. And this stops me from doing it. Meaning Hashem says, there will be times where the Jewish people will not do what Hashem wants them to do. They will transgress the Torah, and Hashem would say, I would like to scatter them and to seize their memory from men. But something will stop him. What is it? The enemies. Because the enemies will misinterpret and they will say, our hand was raised in triumph. Okay? And it was not Hashem who accomplished all this. Okay? And in order to prevent this desecration of the name of Hashem, Hashem says, I will not destroy the Jewish people. Meaning, in other words, sometimes the reason why Hashem does not punish the Jewish people is because of the wickedness of the enemies. And I want to show you a source in Dvarim, 40 years before, many years before, not 40, but a few weeks before, Moshe speaks to the Jewish people and he tells them the following. It's page 985. Chapter 9, verse number 5. It's again on top of the line, right? Just one verb on this page, and then we go to the next page. Not because of your righteousness, I'm now at the type of 987. Not because of your righteousness and the uprightness of your heart are you coming to possess their land, the land of Israel. Hashem tells the Jewish people, not because you are righteous, I'm bringing you to the land of Israel. But because of the wickedness of these nations, does Hashem, your God, drive them away from before you. And in order to establish the world that Hashem swore to your forefathers. So what does Hashem say? You are coming into the land of Israel. Don't say that it's your might and strength, right, that caused you to inherit the land of Israel. It's because of the wickedness of these people that are in the land of Israel that causes you to inherit it. Meaning, the time did not really come for the Jewish people to enter the land of Israel, because if you remember, the Jewish people left Egypt 210 years, after 210 years of exile, rather than after 400. How long did it take since they left Egypt till they entered the land of Israel? 40 years, 40 years in the desert. So it's 250 years. So you did not yet achieve the level of righteousness that make you deserve to inherit the land. You had to accomplish more in 150 more years of exile, but it was impossible to let it happen because you would have been lost as the nation of Hashem spiritually. So I took you out. So how do you get into the land of Israel? Because the wickedness of the nations in the land of Israel is to that extent that they deserve to be chased out. And as a result of it, you can get the land now, even though it's before the time. Okay? So, understanding this, the Midrash quotes this pasuk and connects it to the fact that Hashem hardened the heart of Pharaoh. What does it have to do with each other? The Midrash says the following. That the same applied here. They came out of Egypt, even though it was before the time. Why? Because of the wickedness of Pharaoh. The wickedness of Pharaoh. Sometimes we are, you know, redeemed or we are helped, not because of our righteousness, but because of the wickedness of our enemies. And this explains to us or gives us another way of looking at something that we read about before we came here, last week's portion, right? If you remember, Hashem sent Moshe, we are going back to Shmot, yeah? Hashem sent Moshe to Pharaoh. It's in Parashat Bereshit at the end. It's page number 317. Hashem sent Moshe and Aaron to Pharaoh to tell him, let the Jewish people go. It's before the 10 plagues. And Pharaoh says, make the work harder for them. Up till now, they got the material and they had just to build. Now they will have to scatter the straw and the materials that are necessary in order to create the bricks that from them they will build, and the quota will not be changed. In other words, Moshe and Aaron went to Pharaoh to ask him to send the Jewish people, and instead of the situation becoming better, it became worse. The Jewish people approached Moshe and said, how is it, right? You only made the situation worse, right? If you look at verse number 21, they said to them, may Hashem look upon you and judge, for you have made our very scent abhorrent in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of his servants, to place a sword in their hands to murder us. You made the situation much harder. So Moshe approaches Hashem and he asked, my Lord, why have you done evil to these people? Why have you sent me? From the time I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he did evil to these people, but you did not rescue your people. You sent me to rescue them, but he didn't rescue them. Instead, it made the situation more difficult. So if we are there, most probably, we would also feel the same way, right? Are you supposed to be the redeemer? You only made our situation worse. We don't want you as a leader. But that's what Hashem did. Why did Hashem do it? Because by the fact that Pharaoh becomes more wicked and more wicked, he deserves punishment. And this can make the redemption of the Jewish people quicker. Not because of their righteousness, they are still in 49 days of impurity, but the wickedness of Pharaoh comes to such an extent that Hashem will take revenge of him and he will have to send the Jewish people from Egypt. So it's very interesting. It gives us a totally different outlook to the same events. It could be looked upon as something horrible. And now we see it's something very good. The Jewish people are in 14 days, gates of impurity. They cannot stay in Egypt, but they don't have the merit to get out. So what will happen? Hashem did a few things. He gives them to mitzvot, as we see later on in our week's portion. He gave them the mitzvah of circumcision, the mitzvah of the offering of Pesach. So they'll have merits. They had to take the sheep of the Egyptians and bring them as an offering, and it was a god in the eyes of the Egyptians, right? So it was self-sacrifice for the sake of the fulfilling the words of Hashem. A few things that Hashem did in order to bring the Jewish people to be able to be redeemed on time. And one of them was to worsen the situation, meaning to make Pharaoh more evil. As the Pasuk said, because of my anger that flares against the nations who persecute the Jewish people. As a result of it, you are able to get out earlier. So we are in the same situation today, right? We are before the times of Mashiach, we are waiting for redemption. We constantly speak about the fact that we are before the times of Mashiach, before the times of Mashiach. When we look at the history of the last 100 years, the Jewish history, it's so, so difficult and so painful and behind comprehension. And we don't claim to say that we know why things are like this. Nobody can explain why the Holocaust took place, why so many nations are against us in the whole world, why young Jewish soldiers are killed and injured. We don't know the reasons. But we have an example in the Torah that indicates to us that what we see as wrong might be the acts of kindness of Hashem. It's hard to relate to it at the times that we experience it. It's so painful and it's okay to feel the pain. We should feel the pain and we should pray that it will change. And we should learn, you know, to return to Hashem, right? But we have to know one thing. Everything that Hashem does is for our purpose. It's for our good, even if it's very, very painful. And as I said, we can feel that it's painful and we can tell Hashem, it's painful, it's unbearable, that's okay. because we express our feelings. But in terms of how we relate to it, it's our job to work on the belief that being that it's coming from Hashem, it's for the best. We don't see it, we don't understand it, it's very difficult, but we know it is for the best. Okay, so that's another reason why Hashem hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Not only did he make us be able to have the merit to get out earlier, but ve'yadu ki ani Hashem, we will come to know Hashem, meaning it will be a lesson, I'm sorry, for all generations that whatever Hashem does is for the best. In hindsight, it's easy to see it and understand it. At the time, it's unbearable many times, right? So we can cry, we can scream, we can say it's beyond the ability to bear it. That's okay. But we have to know it's coming from Hashem. And being that this is the case, it's for sure the right judgment. It's for sure for our benefit. Okay? And of course, we have the ability to change the reality also while doing tshuva. I want to add in the few minutes that we have a third layer of understanding why Hashem hardened the heart of Pharaoh. We said in the past, Hashem did not need 10 plagues and a whole negotiation for a year with Pharaoh in order to take the Jewish people out. It's all lessons. It was evil, vis-a-vis good. Pharaoh and his servants and his nation are evil, and the Jewish people are the nation of Hashem. When Moshe comes to Pharaoh, it's not a physical, a discussion, a negotiation about the physical fate of the Jewish nation. Of course, it's also about letting the Jewish people go. But it's a fight on the way of thinking, of a philosophy. Pharaoh has a philosophy. We have the Torah philosophy. And it's one against the other. And Hashem wants Pharaoh, via the process, to come to the point that he realizes what is the truth and accepts it. So, when Moshe comes to Pharaoh and he tells him, let the Jewish people go, Pharaoh says, oh, I don't want, I can do whatever I want. I am a God. And what does it mean I am a God? I'm independent and I can do whatever I want. Pharaoh knows that there is a God, but he thought that God gave us unlimited choice. And if this is the case, he can choose whatever he wants. He can choose good. He can choose evil, even where the consequences, but he has the ability to choose evil. And he's free to choose evil. So he said, no. It was painful. The plague of blood wasn't easy. But he was stubborn. He believed in what he believed. It was a person that was very, very strong. Another plague comes harder, and he still says, I am free to choose. And a third, and a fourth, and a fifth. In all of them, he said, I don't care. Yes, it's very painful. But you know who wins? The one who gives the last hit, right? You have a struggle. You get stronger for a moment. The enemy gets stronger for a moment. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Who won? The last hit. Says Pharaoh, I'm ready to go ahead. And if I'll be stubborn enough, I'll give the last hit and I'll win. What means I'll be able to choose whatever I want and nobody will be able to stop me. And it's true. Hashem gave us free choice. And we can choose good or evil. It's up to us. But what Hashem wanted to show Pharaoh is that he has free choice also because Hashem granted it to him. The free choice is not inherently his, it's a gift. And being that it's a gift, even this can be taken away. And that's why Hashem helped his heart. This was the last lesson that Pharaoh had to learn. You can never give the last hit. You start with the nation of Hashem, you can cause a lot of pain and difficulties, but the Jewish nation eventually will survive and will succeed. In other times too, they are going through very hard times, but we have no doubt that the end is ours, that eventually, not only will all the nations who pain us and persecute us and kill us will be punished, but they will recognize that they can't overcome us because the world was created for us. We are bringing the world to purpose, not them. And this is a very difficult realization. See, in the war now, we created such devastation for the Hamas and the Hezbollah. They speak like winners. And it's almost a joke, right? Hundreds of thousands of people went to the north of Gaza, and what do they see? They have nothing. Devastation. I read yesterday that one of them said there is no room even to put a tent. It's full with rubble. And what do the leaders say? We won, we won, we won. Is this winning? But for them to say, Hashem is God, this is the nation that Hashem is with, as was seen very clearly in this war, with all the victims and all the difficulties, there are open miracles, right? They don't want to accept it. They claim victory. And they think that they have the choice to go ahead and do it again. At one point, they'll be stopped. And they will have to see that they don't have a choice. And that's the ultimate winning over them. So Hashem wanted to show power. You think that I gave you choice, free choice, and you are free to go as far as you want? Oh no. There is a verse that King Solomon said, that the heart of kings and ministers is in the hands of Hashem. Meaning a private person has free choice. He can choose whatever he wants. The moment a person becomes a leader of a nation, he's not free to do whatever he wants. He thinks he does whatever he wants. It seems to him that he makes the choice. But who brings the thought into his head? Hashem. He's not free anymore. He's a leader. He affects the whole universe or many nations or his own nation. What he can do is only what Hashem allows him to do. Of course, he is responsible and will be punished for decisions that are wicked and be rewarded for decisions that are good. But let's say a leader makes a vicious decision. He won't be successful in executing it if Hashem will not. So he's not free to do whatever he wants. And this is what Hashem wanted to show Paro also. Why are taking away from him the free choice? Don't think you are a God. Only Hashem is independent and can do really whatever he wants. He created us. Everything is in his hands. The only thing that is in our hands is the ability to develop a desire to connect to him, not even to execute. The ability to create a desire to be close to him, or God forbid the opposite. And now Hashem proved to Pharaoh that even this can be taken away from him. So at the end, Pharaoh really came out and chased the Jewish people out. It came from him, not because Moshe came to him. At this time, Pharaoh is running and asks in the middle of the night, where is Moshe? Where is Aaron? Right? And he finds them and chases them out of Egypt. Even free will was taken away from him. And this shows the ultimate independence and power of Hashem, even to a wicked person like Paul. Okay, we'll close here and I'll open to questions and answers.
Before we open, I just want to make an announcement. The class is Le'ilu Nishmas Me'ira Chaya Nechama Bracha Bas David Mordechai. Okay, you should be able to unmute yourselves.
Hi, Rabbits in cone, I don't see you, but can
Yeah,
you hear
I'm
me?
here.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Very, very happy you're giving us some clarity a little bit and words of chizuk to hope to that it will be good in the end, because right now we
Very hard.
think too difficult I'm glad you said you hinted on what is going on with the war and everything, because really it's so words like yours, like don't despair, it will be good. It will be good in the end.
Right. That's what the Torah teaches us.
Right.
This is what keeps us going.
That even the wickedness of the of our enemies, that is Hashem's, wants it this way. So that the
Allows
wicked
it. Allows it. I wouldn't
allows
say
it,
wants it this way, allows it. For the time
for
being.
our good, for our
Right.
good. And
Right.
that
For the
is
time
so,
being.
but right, and that is such a hard lesson to, hard words to hear, but it gives me a bit of a positive outlook, because we need it
Right,
desperately. Thanks.
sure. Robertson,
Sure.
can you address a little bit the idea about people who want to be in Eretz Yisrael very, very much, and they live chutz la'aretz, and for various reasons, family obligations, they can't make aliyah, in terms of what you said about the ratzon being so strong?
Is to
Kills all is
the key
to
questions. I had the same question.
If to come to Israel or not, it's an individual question because it depends on circumstances. But the desire is supposed to be there, and it counts a lot. That's what Rabbi Yehuda Halevi says, Libi b'mizrach v'anochi b'sof ma'arav. My heart is in the east, meaning in Israel, while I am in the west for now, right? The desire is very important. Somebody said, it's better to be outside of Israel and desire to be in Israel than to be in Israel and desire to be out of it. Right? There are sometimes circumstances that don't allow us to do things. And it's a personal question that one has to discuss with whoever, we trust, or a rabbi or somebody else that knows his life circumstances and weigh, is it the right thing on many levels or not? Right? But the desire is supposed to be there. There's no question. And if a person desires it very much, and he really can't, it's considered as if he's there.
Oh, thank
Thank
you.
you. Sure.
Wonderful.
Okay. Have a good week, and we hope to hear good news
Thank you.
already.
Amen. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.